Comfort for the Betrayed, an exposition of Psalm chapter 55, verses 1 through 23. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday evening, September the 12th, 2010.
Let's bow for a word of prayer together. Father, I'm grateful for the opportunity we have to be in your presence, and I pray that you would open your word to us, that we'd be challenged, that we'd be encouraged, that we'd be strengthened, that as you speak, we would hear, that we would have the courage and boldness to allow your word to shape us and to mold us, to enable us to be the people that you desire us to be. Be our teacher now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a story that's as old as time, yet its pain is real and devastating. Is there an uglier concept than betrayal? Is there any pain that's worse than the pain of being betrayed? We've all experienced it to a degree. It starts early. For some of us, it started in elementary school. When your best friend refused to pick you to be on the team just because you don't run as fast as the others. Now, I've gotten over it, almost. I hardly even think about it anymore. It's a little thing, but it's devastating when you're a kid. He's your best friend, but he wouldn't pick you. Then you get a little older, and you get in junior high, maybe high school, and you finally tell your best friend this dark secret. You finally unburden yourself, only to have them broadcast it to the whole school. And it's bad enough that the whole school knows. The worst thing is, it was your friend who betrayed you and told everyone. Then you grow up, you get a job, and you fall the victim of office politics, and your friend has your promotion. To one degree or another, we've all experienced it. Some have experienced more than others. Maybe you know the betrayal of a spouse. Maybe you know pain beyond just the minor betrayal that most of us have experienced. But in one way or another, we all know something of the pain of David, who knew the pain of the betrayal of a trusted friend. Psalm 54, 55, and Psalm 52 all have something in common. Each involves David's betrayal by a person or a group. In Psalm 52, he's betrayed by Saul's chief shepherd. In Psalm 54, he's betrayed by his own countrymen. And in our text tonight, Psalm 55, David experiences the betrayal of a trusted friend. Our text is Psalm 55, and we're going to look at the entire psalm together. There's some speculation as to who this friend might have been, and we really don't know. Some suggested that it was David's trusted counselor who sided with his son Absalom during the rebellion, recorded in 2 Samuel 15 through 17, but we can't be sure. There's nothing in the text that tells us. There's nothing in the title that would tell us for sure when this was. There's nothing in the text that really can isolate it to the point that we know exactly which friend and under which circumstance. But it's clear these are the words of David having been betrayed. As we walk through the passage together, what I want us to understand is that in times of great upheaval and crushing betrayal, the righteous find their refuge in a covenant-keeping God. Whenever it is, however it comes, when we feel pain, when we feel heartache, when we are crushed by betrayal, we'll find our help in the God who never fails, in the God who is forever faithful, who is the covenant-keeping God, who's entered into relationship with us. Three stanzas to this hymn, and I want us to look at it in that way. The first stanza is in verse 1 down through verse 8. where we discover the righteous instinctively turn to God in times of great trouble. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I'm restless in my complaint, and I moan because of the noise of my enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. David is expressing his heartache. David is expressing his pain, and he uses very vivid language. He says, I cry out to the Lord, and I cry out in agony. Listen and do not ignore. Hear me, answer me. These are the words of a desperate man. One of the things that I love about the Psalms is its honesty. It's not trying to sugarcoat it. He isn't trying to sound spiritual. He's being honest in his prayer. And it's the words of agony. It's words of great pain. My thoughts are troubled. This is what dominates his thinking. I am distraught. I am in distress. The voice of my enemies, the stares of the wicked, all of this. There's inner turmoil that is dominating his life. And look at what he says in verse 4. My heart is in anguish, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. You get the picture? David's life is a mess. It's coming in from every side. He is overwhelmed. Now, we like to think that as the people of God, as those who put our faith and trust in Him, that there is always strength and there's always courage. And that certainly is true, but we don't always feel courageous. And we don't always feel comforted. And there are times when we are overwhelmed in our sorrow. There are times when we are overwhelmed in our trouble. And sometimes we make each other feel bad. And sometimes when I want to be an encouragement, I only add to the problem. Because I make someone feel like, or you're trying to be an encouragement, and you make someone feel like that they're somehow not spiritual because life's problems overwhelm them. But there are those times, regardless of how much you love the Lord, there are those times, regardless of how often you read your Bible and how often you pray and how much you want to be an example, that problems and trials and troubles overwhelm you to the point you just don't have anything left. And David is at that point. Listen to his words. He cries out in desperation. So that in verses 6 through 8, look at what he says. If I had wings like a dove, I'd fly away. If I could get out of here, I'd get out of here. If I could run away, I would run away. I would wander far away. I'd lodge in the wilderness. You ever felt like that? You ever found yourself saying, you know, things are bad, this is terrible, I hate what I'm going through, and if I had the ability, I'd run away. I'd go somewhere. You ever been at that point in your life that you thought, if I could, I'd find a cave somewhere and live there. If I could just get away from everybody, I'd gladly do it. You ever been so discouraged and so downhearted that you thought, if possible, I'd find a hole, crawl in it, and I'd pull the hole in after me? I just can't take anymore. That's where David is. And what did he do? He cried out to God in the midst of it. in times of heartache and trial and trouble, the righteous instinctively call out to God. I say instinctively because I really think David's at a point he doesn't really want to. You ever been there? You ever been to the point that you know you need to pray but you don't want to? That's where David is. There are times of crushing heartache. David's there. The righteous turn to God in times of trouble. But second, beginning in verse 9, when in trouble, the righteous turn to God and they passionately plead for God to intervene. Passionately plead for God to intervene and do something about it. I would hurry to find shelter, he says in verse 8, in the raging wind and tempest. Verse 9, destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls, and iniquity and trouble are within it. Ruin is in its midst. Oppression and fraud do not depart from this marketplace. Verse 9 sounds an awful lot like what God did at the Tower of Babel, doesn't it? Destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues. You remember at the Tower of Babel, they were all speaking the same language and they were all striving against God, and so God divided their languages so that they couldn't understand each other anymore, so that there was great confusion. And David is saying, look, my enemies have so many voices and they're all speaking the same message, and I wish you'd do the same thing in my circumstance and divide their tongues so they can't understand each other and bring me some relief. He's calling for God to intervene in a great and miraculous way. These folks are full of violence. They're full of strife. There's malice. There's abuse. There are threats. And there are lies. And then in verse 12, David comes to the heart of the matter. David is describing this great distress. David is describing the pain and the heartache. And he gives us a vivid picture, and we understand he's in real pain, and we understand he's in a desperate hour, and we understand he's pleading for God to intervene. And finally, he reveals the real source of his trouble. For it's not an enemy who taunts me. Then I could bear it. I wish it was an enemy, because then I could be mad at my enemy and I'd feel a whole lot better. I could understand it. I could deal with it if it were an enemy. It's not an adversary who deals insolently with me. Then I could hide from him. I wish it was an enemy, because then I'd deal with it. I wish it were an adversary, I'd just duck and hide. But it's you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. How I wish it was an enemy. I wish it was an adversary. It's not. It's a familiar friend. It's someone that he has been in relationship with, not even on a casual level. He's saying it's not even that it's an acquaintance. It's not just that it's somebody I know. It's someone I'm really close to. But he's still not through. We used to take sweet counsel together within God's house, and we walked in the throng. He's saying, it's somebody I go to church with. I've been betrayed by one I've worshiped with. A dear, sweet friend who's done this to me. It is a trusted friend. It is a trusted companion. Spurgeon said, none are such real enemies as false friends. It's what hurts. It's where the real pain and the real agony comes from. David uses awfully strong language throughout this section. And I think it's important that we note it. Because it reminds us it is not wrong to plead with God for justice to be done. It's not a problem. There's nothing wrong with it. The problem is if we take it into our own hands to carry it out. David, in his pain, in his heartache, cried out to God, and he pled with God to do justice. He pled with God that righteousness would prevail. He pled with God that his enemies would be dealt with. And he did so passionately, with great passion, with great feeling. He pled with God to intervene and deal with this person who hurt him. Now see, we're sometimes too spiritual for that. We're sometimes so spiritual, well, that's wrong. We shouldn't do that. He's being honest with God about where he is. And that's the issue here. Now, doesn't the Scripture tell me I'm to love my enemies? Yes. Doesn't the Scripture say I should pray for those who persecute me and do all kinds of evil against me falsely? Yes. Doesn't the Scripture say I ought to be counted blessed because I'm suffering for the sake of righteousness? Yes. Well, then why are you applauding David for pleading with God to destroy? Because David's being honest before God. And most of us could use a healthy dose of honesty in our dealing with that which hurts us. He's being honest with God when God knows his heart already. And the problem with most of us is we try to deny our heart and deal with God at the same time. David's being honest. I'm hurt. And I'm hurt deeply. And I want you to do something about it. Okay? Instinctively, turn to God. Passionately plead for God to intervene, for God to do something about it, but we're not through yet. Verses 16 through the end of the psalm remind us, this third stanza, that ultimately the righteous submit to God's sovereign rule. Ultimately, we leave it in God's hand. Look at what happens. He pled that God would intervene. But I call to God, verse 16, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon I utter my complaint and I moan, and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage. For many are arrayed against me. God will give ear and humble them. He who is enthroned from of old. Because they do not change and do not fear God. My companion stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated his covenant. His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, will cast them down into the pit of destruction. Men of blood and treachery shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in you. The righteous ultimately submit to God's sovereign rule. And I say ultimately because it's probably going to be a process. And it will probably take some time before you finally reach the point that you trust him and leave it in his hands. See, I do believe that prayer changes things. And I believe the primary thing it changes is you when you pray. See, I say if you're angry, if you're hurt, if you're bitter, if you're upset, then you pray to God. And in the process, God's going to do a work in you. And God's going to soften you. And God's going to deal with you as well as dealing with those others. There is a change that comes over David in this psalm. He begins with an intense pleading and he comes to a quiet resolve. There's that impassioned pleading, Lord, destroy them, destroy their voices, divide their tongues, bring confusion among them, deal with them who've done this. But he comes to the end and he says, I'll trust in you. There's a quiet resolve by the time David reaches the end of his prayer in this section. Listen to the way that Eugene Peterson paraphrases this psalm, especially this last section. God will help me. At dusk, dawn, and noon I sigh, deep sighs. He hears, he rescues. My life is well and whole, secure, in the middle of danger. Even while thousands are lined up against me, God hears all, and from his judge's bench puts them in their place. But set in their ways, they won't change. They pay him no mind. And this, my best friend, betrayed his best friends. His life betrayed his words. All my life I've been charmed by his speech, never dreaming he had turned on me. His words, which were music to my ears, turned to be daggers in my heart. Pile your troubles on God's shoulders. He'll carry your load. He will help you out. He'll never let good people topple into ruin. But you, God, will throw the others into a muddy bog, cut the lifespan of assassins and traitors in half, and I trust in you. David is expressing the same sentiments as Peter in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Cast your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Cast your cares upon him who enables you to be steadfast. David says that there are at least three reasons why we should trust in God. One, he will sustain us. Two, he will never allow the righteous to fall. And three, he will bring down the wicked. And so, we trust in him. But how do we do that? We do that by first coming to him in our hurt, in our anger, in our fear, and in our frustration. And we plead passionately for righteousness to prevail. And then we learn to leave it in his hand and trust him. See, the problem is we take it to him, we give it to him, we just don't leave it with him. Peace comes in the midst of the trial when we learn to trust. What do you do when all hell breaks loose in your life? You flee to Christ. You find peace and comfort in a God who is faithful. The righteous find their refuge in the covenant-keeping God. The God who is good, who is sovereign, and who is faithful. Betrayal, heartache, pain. We all experience it. It's not a matter of if it comes to you, what will you do? It's a matter of when it comes, how will you respond? And I would encourage you, respond as David and find in him your refuge and your strength. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you are good and gracious and merciful. And because you are, you speak to us in times of trouble. And you comfort us in the midst of our pain. And you assure us there is a future. So, Lord, I pray that you would grant to us grace, that you would grant to us encouragement, that you would give us strength. And as we find you faithful, we in turn will be faithful. Grant us grace. Grant us mercy. Give us strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.